It's quarter number three on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Time to Ask Ross. This week's Ask Ross segment is brought to you by the 409 Tailgate Club. For the best gifts for the tailgater in your life, go to 409tailgateclub.com. And always remember, tailgate with honor.
Okay, everybody, welcome back to the Little Bat Studio. And it's quarter number three this week, which means it's time for Ask Ross, brought to you by 409tailgateclub.com. Go to 409tailgateclub.com for all your barbecue sauce, rubs, and 409 tailgate wine needs. All right, Ross, I've got some questions. We're going to have your answers. And don't forget, the listener whose question is deemed the number one question of the week will receive a tailgate box, courtesy of 409tailgateclub.com. You get some sauces and rubs in a cool box. Are you ready, Ross?
I am ready. You said the first one's good, which means it's probably not.
The first one's fun. I said fun. I
didn't say.
This is from Dave in Lehigh Valley, Pennsylvania. Bob.
It's my old stomping ground. That's where I grew up.
Lehigh Valley. My really good friend is getting married this summer, Ross.
I like it so far.
What Penn State-related gift would you recommend as a wedding gift outside of a GoPSURV.com? Also, if you've not done so already, please check out sometime in your lifetime the 4th of July fireworks at Penn State. I highly recommend it. They're extremely fan-friendly and an incredible show at Beaver Stadium.
Okay, so this is a guy, and it's his guy friend is getting married?
It's his... My really good friend is getting married this summer. Yes.
All right. So I'm going to assume it's a guy. It doesn't really matter. All right. I got two. Okay. Depends on how much you're looking to spend here.
Okay.
You can get, there's several different size Yeti coolers, and you could put a like a logo on it. I don't think that they brand those yet where you could actually have it on there. But I do think, you know, like the Yeti koozies. It doesn't have to be Yeti, by the way. But you know the koozie where you pop the top off. It's a Yeti like I'm holding in my hand, which is great for radio and podcasts because nobody can actually see it. But it's Yeti material. You pop the top off. You put a can in.
And it stays cold.
It stays 200 times colder
than
an actual koozie, than like an old school koozie. They have to have those with the Penn State Nittany Lion logo on the side. And if they don't, I am so angry that I'm saying this on the radio right now, because that should be what people should do. Every tailgate person in the country, your cooler should have a logo on it, and you should have those Yeti koozie things with a logo. Somebody that's got more time on their hand than me, look up and see if those are available. If they're not, we are marking the time right now. I have a patent pending on that and a trademark, whatever, copyright, something or other, because I said it first publicly, because I want that business. Because those things are awesome. And everybody outside of the Penn State game, Labor Day weekend, where it's so hot you want to die, should have that thing in their hand while they're having a can of beer.
That's one. What was your other gift?
A Yeti cooler.
Oh, okay, cooler. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, come on, Andy. It's something about keeping beer cold. Those are the only gifts I care about or talk about or care about.
All right, this next one comes from Joel in Millersville. If Joe Paterno or Bill O'Brien had remained Penn State's coach during the sanction era, as well as still being the coach today, do you think Penn State would have had the same level of success they've had under James Franklin?
No. If Paterno or Bill O'Brien were still the coach?
Yes.
No.
I
don't.
I tend
O'Brien
to
didn't recruit well enough. I don't think O'Brien liked recruiting, right? Franklin, like, lives for it. It's just too important. O'Brien, he's got such a gruff personality. I can't even imagine him as a recruiter. I don't think he likes that. And then Joe Paterno, how old would he be right now?
I think a better question would have been like a Joe in his prime.
Yeah, Joe
in his prime. If he had to deal with the sanctions.
Yeah.
I think the way it's asked is an obvious.
Joe in his prime, if he had to deal with the sanctions, probably. I mean, he found a way to get Derek Williams and Justin King and those guys when he needed to and revitalize it. So I would say probably he found a way to get it done.
All right, let's keep moving on. This one comes from Ryan in Clarksburg, Maryland. I remember hearing Saquon say that he saw some defenders tackling low on tape, which is why he was able to hurdle so many defenders on game day. Can you think of one or two other things that players do to prepare for the next opponent that the typical football fan really isn't aware of?
Oh, geez.
I thought you would be like, oh, there's like nine different directions.
Yeah, so I'm going to say there's a lot. I primarily would look at guys, what they did in obvious passing situations. Now they have it broken down even more than that, where they'll literally have a guy's clips into every pass rush that he wins, every pass rush that he loses, every club move he throws, every swim move he throws. You can really dive into it. I would tell people that, and even now the analytics, like they'll tell you exactly the guy had 46 second and third and longs. And on 24 of those, he came with a bull rush. Like they're much more advanced in that way than they ever were before. And I think that's something people wouldn't know. And actually, during the game, it's amazing how much, how to describe it. It's not like you even see it. You just feel it, right? So like I feel the D, I'm playing left guard. I feel the DN's a little tighter than he normally is. I feel the linebacker to this side is a little wider than he normally is. It's a pirate stunt. It's coming. DN's pinching. Mike linebacker scraping. And there are guys that are so much more gifted than I was that they could never feel that. They could never feel that. And if you don't feel it, you're in a lot of trouble. If you don't see those little things, you're in big problem. Like, watch football, right? Anytime there's a guy up, standing up on the end of the line of scrimmage, the guy inside of him is pinching. They're not sending two guys through the same gap. So if there's a DN and a guy outside of him, the DN's pinching to the B gap, which is the gap between the guard and the tackle, maybe even all the way to the A gap. But you know that. And I'll still see like guys like kick out, like they don't know what's happening. Bob?
I think the better question within that question, Ross, is this. Would you like to see Saquon stop leaving his feet? I feel very strongly that I know he doesn't do it as much as he did at Penn State. I just think the danger factor between the awkward landing, whether it's on one of his feet or on his head, I would like to see him eliminate that part of his game. I just think that he really risks injury maybe when it's not necessary.
And I disagree for a couple different reasons. One is, if you remember Randall Cunningham and how often Randall Cunningham used to jump, and he said because when you jump, you don't have anything planted in the ground. Nobody can fall on the side of your leg. You're in the air. He actually thought it helped him stay healthier. Now, there's more of a chance for an elbow or a shoulder injury, yeah, and you're going to be more bruised and banged up, but you're not going to be in a situation where two guys are grabbing you and somebody else comes in your leg, or someone's on your leg and somebody comes in and gets you. Plus, I would say for him, he's so powerful and he's so thick that guys are going to go low on him. So maybe even if he doesn't do it as often, Bob, he still has to do it sometimes, just so they know they can't totally bow up for his power.
I saw him land on his head twice when he vaulted into the end zone, like up and over.
Right.
And I was glad he got back up because it did not look great.
You're listening to Ask Ross, brought to you by 409tailgateclub.com. Go to 409tailgateclub.com for all your barbecue sauce, rubs, and 409 tailgate wine needs. We're coming to you from the Labatt Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white. Drink blue and light. All right, let's keep moving. Let's go to Brian from Miami, Florida. Dear Ross, the inside of our offensive line, in my eyes, looks solid for 2019 with Gonzalez, Mennett, Miranda, C.J. Thorpe. I'm a little concerned about our offensive tackles with Walker and Fries as our starters. What part of our offense would suffer the most if our offensive tackles underperform? Is it the running game, passing game, or does it really affect the entire offense? Thanks for the great work.
Well, it affects the entire offense. I would say specifically, though, it probably affects the most the downfield passing game.
Okay.
Because the short passing game, you know, you'd like to think Clifford can still get the ball out, or whoever wins the quarterback competition could still get the ball out. But if you're going to ask those guys to protect for longer against like Chase Young from Ohio State or some of these guys that are out there and they're struggling, they're gonna really have problems. This to me, Fries and Walker are kind of going to be a referendum on Lime Grover this year. I mean, this is Fry's third year playing now. Right. He should really be good. I mean, he's got long arms. He's athletic. He should be like an all Big Ten type of guy, first, second, third team. Rasheed Walker was as good as an offensive line recruit as they've gotten in ever, maybe, certainly in years. And you know what? Even though he's a redshirt freshman, at big time places like Penn State, you get a top 100 kid, they should be ready to go as a redshirt freshman. I mean, if things go as planned for Rasheed Walker based on how he looks, he should only be there for two more years. And then he should leave school after his third year. So I think this is a big Lime Grover year in my mind.
Okay. This comes from Rob in New Jersey. He says, at what point did you feel I belong here when you played in the NFL? And was there a specific player moment? And how does it vary between players?
So, interestingly enough, I had built up NFL players so much in my head that I actually thought that they'd be better. You know, when you play at the FCS level, we called it 1AA back then or lower, you watch like a Thursday night Miami-Virginia Tech game and you're like, man. You know, because when there's 70,000 people and the guys just look awesome. So I really had no idea what was going to happen when I went to NFL minicamp right after the draft. And I remember distinctly, I was with the twos at right tackle, even though I'd only played guard in college. And I was blocking Terry Bryant, who was second team all ACC from Clemson, right? And he was like a D end, like 6'4", 275. I'm thinking, wow, all right. And I just blocked him every play. Every play. And I remember just thinking, when's he going to turn the good on?
When's he going to turn me inside out?
Like, when's he going to turn like the Clemson all ACC on? And it just never happened. And the linebackers were really fast and really good. I guess a lot of it's expectations. But I kind of realized right away that I could do it. And then in training camp, first couple days, same thing. We had drafted Mario Mons from Cincinnati. I was pancaking him. I was like, all right, I guess I'm legit. I'm good. The first Lehigh Valley wedding question, that's the winner.
All right, Dave from Lehigh Valley, 409tailgateclub.com. Gift basket is headed your way. That'll do it for quarter three from the Labatt Studio. We're going to close strong with quarter four. Stick with us. We'll be right back.
It's time to get undomesticated. It's time for Labatt Blue. Time to get off the couch and on the beach, on the trails, on the lake, onto what you love doing best. Get in touch with your adventurous side. Get out the ATV, the tent, the sunscreen. Get out the cooler and fill it high with Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light, because nothing goes better with the great outdoors. It's time to get up, get out, get undomesticated. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York.
Hey, Penn State fans, here is your chance to take something off your bucket list. That's right, Go PSU RV is offering a full range of RV setups ready for a weekend of great tailgating at their Lions Den, which is the closest single-game RV overnight lot to Beaver Stadium. You can arrive anytime Friday afternoon, stay until Sunday morning, avoiding all that traffic. Don't miss this unique opportunity. Go online to gopsurv.com and reserve your RV today. 409 Tailgate Club proudly introduces our tailgate wines. Like our great sauces and rubs, you'll enjoy our wines at your next cookout, tailgate, or even as a great gift for that fan of the blue and white. Speaking of blue and white, you've got to try our award-winning Sapphire Blue, made from pure blueberry juice. Or how about our Old Main Pinot Grigio and 1855 Vidal? Go to tailgatewine.com and find all our PA preferred wines. That's tailgatewine.com.